big high ball comes in looking for Murphy. Murphy one-handed, goes the advance mark. Classic Donegal football, classic Michael Murphy.
Highland Radio's Road to Croker, in association with Highland Motors Letterkenny, and the all-new Dacia Duster from just €199 per month. Refreshed looks, sophisticated, yet practical and tough. Now also available in hybrid.
Hello there, and a very good evening, and welcome along to the Clonry Hotel here in Letterkenny for Highland Radio's big up for the match countdown as we look forward to the All-Ireland Final 2025 that, of course, involves our very own Donegal this weekend. We have a packed house here in the Clonry to look forward to the All-Ireland Final. Many thanks to everybody who's joined us tonight here at the venue. And we have to welcome everybody that's listening across the Northwest on FM, on the radio, and wherever you are in the world tonight as well, on your smart speaker or online on highlandradio.com. You're very welcome along indeed. This is a special week, and we don't get to enjoy these weeks very often. We've only ever won the Sam Maguire, of course, twice. We're chasing it for a third time. We're back in the final for the first time since 2014. That's a very long time not to be at Croke Park on All-Ireland final day. But Jim McGuinness and his current group of Chargers in the Donegal jersey have got us back fighting for the coveted Sam Maguire Cup as they take on Kerry on Sunday. And we are, of course, here tonight as well, supporting the Donegal Team Training Fund. We're doing a bit for the Training Fund, and we're also supporting the Northwest Special Olympics as well. And to help us tonight, we've got some wonderful people who know a thing or two about football. We've got a panel that's stacked with all-stars and All-Ireland winners, as you can see, primed and ready to go here on the stage for those that are in the venue. Anthony Molloy, the man that captained Donegal in 92, joined by his colleagues Martin McHugh and Tony Boyle, all-stars and all-Ireland winners. Later on tonight as well, we've got Frank McGlynn and Ryan Bradley, part of the 2012 contingent who are here. And Ronan McNamee from the neighbouring county of Tyrone is also in. We're not going to get a neutral view, so we've invited Ronan now. We'll be kind to him tonight because his mammy is from Donegal. Yeah. So we'll be hearing from Ronan and Frank and Ryan later on as well. A couple of apologies. Eamon McGee, unfortunately, can't join us tonight. He sends his apologies. Unfortunately, there's a bit of sickness in the house. And Gavin Horst Devlin can't come either. He can't be here. We have a couple of wee clips of Gavin Horst Devlin later on. We might have a wee dig at him, but that's all to come later on. But listen, before we start talking serious football, are we up for a bit of music? Yeah. Are we up for a good old Donegal song, are we, eh? Yeah. Give a big round of applause. Time to sing his new single. It's only out this week, especially for the All-Ireland Final. Getting behind Donegal. It's called Up Donegal, and it's Mr. Darren Boot.
Two, check one, two. Two, two. How you all doing, folks? It's class to be here. These things are always better crack when you sing along, so don't be shy and help us out here. Shouting up Donegal, we're marching on, we're heading for Croker. In full song, singing Jimmy's winning matches, and the hells of Donegal. The memories of 92 and 12 linger on. G stands for green and gold as hardy as they come. We won't back down, we'll stick around until the battle's won. There are no trains to Donegal, but we're fueled by desire. We'll save our seats on the bus to take on Sam Maguire. Yo! Shouting, up Donegal, we're marching on. We're heading for Croker. In full song, singing Jimmy's winning matches and the hills of Donegal. The memories of 92 and 12 linger on. conquered all of Ulster, put Mayo to bed. Left Monaghan rattled, shaking their heads. Now Murphy's back, he knows the crack, he's been here before. Our team of 15 heroes, and we're hungry for more. Yep. Shouting, up Donegal, up Donegal, we're marching on. We're heading for Croker in full song, singing Jimmy's winning matches and the hills of Donegal. The memories of 92 and 12 linger on. We're proud of where we come from, the jewel in Ireland's crown. We'll sing it loud, we'll sing it proud in every single town. The green and gold army with McGuinness at the helm. We'll stand as one together strong to take Sam home again. Shout it, up Donegal! We're marching on, we're heading for Croker. In full song, singing Jimmy's winning matches and the hills of Donegal. The memories of 92 and 12 linger on. Shouting, up Donegal, up Donegal, we're marching on. We're heading for Croker. In full song, singing Jimmy's winning matches and the hills of Donegal. The memories of 92 and 12 linger on. The memories of 92 and 12 linger on. I'm telling you!
Brilliant stuff indeed. The wonderful Darren Boot. And we get another song from Darren later on. That's a good way to start the show, isn't it? Listen, guys, thanks for coming tonight. For those of you who are here, we are supporting the Donegal Team Training Fund and the Northwest Special Olympics. And for those that are in the room tonight, there's an envelope on your chair. And we just ask you tonight to donate whatever you can to the Northwest Special Olympics. You can throw in 50 cents, you can throw in a fiver, whatever suits. It's all going to a very, very good cause. And later on in the second half, what we'll do is we'll collect the envelopes at the interval, and then we'll have a draw for five stunning goodie bags, is the best way to say it. They're Michael Murphy sports goodie bags, and they're absolutely jam-packed with every single Donegal supporter's essentials for an All-Ireland final, okay? There's lots of Donegal stuff in there. Plus, we've got a voucher for Michael Murphy Sports. And we've also got vouchers for Backstage Restaurant at Century Play, Letterkenny. Watson Menswear, Main Street in Letterkenny. Callaghan Electrical, Burt and Letterkenny. And O'Donnell's Mason Go Fuels in Crawley, Kilmacrenan and Illustrin. Every single bag we give away tonight, there's five of them, all right, contains a voucher for each one of those businesses, along with your Donegal essentials for an All-Ireland final. So many thanks to each and every one of those businesses for coming on board tonight with that. And we also have to thank Paddy at BizPrint as well, who printed the envelopes and done them all in aid of a good cause, the Northwest Special Olympics. So, let's talk some football. Hands up here, who was born in 1992? Huh? Hi, there you are now, Martin McHugh. Who remembers 1992 and what went on? Well, our first panel tonight is stacked with 92 winners. They are All-Ireland winners. They are all-stars as well, and as you can see for those in the room tonight, on stage we have Mr. Martin McHugh of Kilcar, Mr. Tony Boyle from Dunlow, and the man that lifted Sam and brought it back into the hills for the very first time back in 1992, the Ardragh native, the mighty man that is Anthony Molloy. And that's my work done for the night. I can go home now. Because we've got another man sitting up here, and it's fair to say that he was just as talented as these guys here sitting alongside me, one of Donegal's best ever footballers. I'm trying to make him a good media pundit at the minute, And I think he's doing a very, very good job of it. He's the presenter of the DL debate every Monday night. And I've given him one of the comfy chairs to talk to these legends. A big welcome as well for Mr. Brendan Devaney.
Thanks. Thanks, Oshie. There might have been anybody born in 92. There could have, after the joy in 92, there might have been a few conceived. I think there was a baby boom maybe after. That's why Oshin tees things up. He keeps everything politically correct, folks. I don't. So hold on to your hats.
Brendan, just to remind you, we are on the radio. Before you get down that line.
This is my mediator here, so yeah, I have to behave myself tonight. But a funny, he's mentioned, I'm obviously the odd one out in terms of our group tonight, and me and Trasher and Haldies, sometimes we meet people and they might say, oh, are you Brendan Devaney? I'm the guy, oh, you were playing 92. I was like, no. Oh, you were there in 2012? I was like, no, I was in between, but probably no less famous, let's be honest about it, for what happened then. But we'll not go into that tonight, folks, because this is our All-Ireland build-up, and being on the stage with these men, I don't know, folks, it's just because I've never properly grown up, but still being alum, these lads, and getting to know them, and even getting to play with Tony is just some of the best things that ever happened in my life. And Anthony Malloy, sitting here, you look like one of those storytellers that's just going to give us a lovely rendition of a sonnet or something. I don't know if you've anything planned, Anthony, but listen, you were always the daddy of Donegal GAA from that time. There had to be a first in this amazing story of Donegal GAA, Anthony. It was coming. I was just looking back at some of the highlights there. Jared Cannon said at the end of, this will do a lot for weaker counties. I was like, hold on a second, who you call a weaker county? My man, back off. But that was said in 92, Anthony. But the build up date, and everybody has such memories of it. It's nostalgia. It was just such a special time.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, first of all, I'm delighted to be here this evening, and such a great occasion. And you know, this is what it's all about. Like, great to see a massive turnout, and this is what our football's all about. I suppose going back to, as Brendan said, in 92. You know, I was so proud that day of our achievement, you know, as a group of players. Just so proud to make the breakthrough that year. And I suppose for myself personally, you know, I was very, very privileged, and indeed I'm still grateful to this very day. And it's a memory that will always live with me, and I'll take it to the grave with me when I lift to Sam Maguire on behalf of our great group of players at that time. And just thinking, coming over the road there, Jim McGuinness was part of that group. And, you know, that link is there in 2012 and is still there today, which is great, you know. And I suppose the joy and the positivity, and of course also the opportunity to showcase our county, to show the whole country what we're all about in Donegal is immense. And that's what it does to get into an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, absolutely magic, Anthony. Absolutely magic. Martin, I'm going to jump to you now because he mentioned Jim's connection to all Donegal's major success. But, of course, there's another big connection. It's the McHugh family running right through. What's it been like again? So proud of the boys, obviously, but brilliant time. Another build-up in the McHugh house.
Yeah, I suppose it's a great time, all right. But I always know I'd rather be out playing. You'd be far more nervous watching them playing than you do if you're playing. But go back to 92, wee minute. This man here got an All-Star and he had a great, great year, and so did Manus Boyle. But I was kicking all the balls into them and I made them look good. But I have to admit something here. Anthony Malloy won the ball and gave it to me, so I had an easy job too. But anyway, Look, very proud on the club and everything else, because we have three people involved in the club. For a small club, was a great achievement. And that's right, 92, we had James and myself, and then Patrick and Mark, and then we had Patrick and Ryan, so in the year 14. So yeah, we've been involved in all the All-Irelands, but the only ones you remember is the ones you won.
Yeah, hey, you'll do well to outdo that picture with Mark, though. That was one of my favourite pictures ever from Crow Park, the embrace. We'll have to get you down along the line towards the end of the game when we won it.
Yeah, but sure. It just happened that I was working for where you are now, the BBC, on the sideline, and ended up to Kim McGarrett over somewhere, and he came over and just said, and he got Mark over, and that's just the way it happened. It was pure luck that things like that happened. But yeah, it was a tough day. It was hard watch and everything else, and there's emotions and everything else when it's over, and that's what you feel. I mean, the tension of playing an All Ireland final now at the minute. We saw it yesterday, and nobody knows what happened in Cork in the second half. And I mean, the most people that are hurting now is them players and their families and everything else. So an All Ireland final is a very big occasion. I remember doing an All Ireland final afterwards. Maybe Mayo and Donegal maybe in 12, and I was doing it on the sideline with Anthony Finnerty. And Anthony Finnerty scored a goal in one of the All Ireland finals that Mayo were beaten in. And was it against Meath, or I don't know who it was, but he missed one as well. And he still gets letters to this day about losing the All-Ireland final in Mayo on the goal he missed. So people remember sometimes big mistakes in games like that there. So it's a massive game, but we must always remember when they're amateur players and they're given a ring. And listen, we couldn't ask any more from the bunch of, and I know it from my own house, the effort, commitment that this bunch of players have put in, particularly this last 2 years, has been, I mean, it's taken up their whole life.
Yeah. Tony, take us back to this time, Tony. The blonde locks were flowing. You were in your pomp. Best ball forward in Ireland. Tony, what was it? Just Martin just mentioned kicking the ball in. Great man to have kicking the ball in you. What was it like staying in your position then? And you had two hungry men outside you, like Samanis and Boer, wanting ball. Was it difficult sometimes that a game, you could spend a good few minutes. Now it seems like everybody can work out and get a handy touch on the ball, but there was a lot of pressure inside there to get your hands on the ball. Like, as the lads were saying, in the lead up to 92, there must have been a lot of nerves. You talked to me before. I still remember you giving me advice. And I listen when you talk, my man. But you would have said about that first ball, make sure you won that first ball clean. You know, that was a big thing probably in your head going into the final.
Yeah, Brent, I suppose. I only came into the panel in 1990 and made my debut in an All-Ireland semi-final, and then we lost our Ulster final in 91 and we won it in 92. I thought, you know, this is great. This is what it's going to be like all the time. You know, not realising that the likes of Anthony and Martin had soldiered since 81, 82, 83, you know, and didn't get that success. So, listen, I loved it because you had that 1v1 battle. And if the new rules that have come in this year has done anything, it's given that back a wee bit, where you have three forwards up inside, and you do get that 1-to-1 battle. And there's great tension, you know, no more so as a supporter or if you're a manager that you're, you know, are you, the big talk is, you know, will Brenton McCall, how will Brenton, if Brenton's given the job at David Clifford, how will he fare, you know, and everyone's looking forward to that battle, and there's battles all over the place. So, listen, back then, to be fair to the wee man, I kicked some great ball in. As for Anthony kicked ball in. It was still up to me to get it, but they talk about the sprintability in the current team. The two best sprinters in the 92 team was when I got fouled straight in front of goals. Both corner forwards were sprinting in to see who was going to get to kick the free, Manus and Declan. not concerned of whether I was hurt or not, who could get the ball off out of my hands.
You see, when you're as classy as Tony, you don't really need to train as hard as everybody else. But wee man, what was your nickname for Tony?
Well, I think they covered it very well there, like, and
you want to avoid that one.
Well, Tony, no, I think we had a very simple game plan, and
but just on that game plan, Anthony, see, when we're looking at it now, we know the video analysis, we know the depth that things have gone. Like, it's meetings, it's hours, it's research. Back in your time, there wasn't a lot of that. You know, how much organising was done? We know you've good brains beside you. Certain kind of people you thought deeply about the game, were they affecting a lot of your setup going into it, you know, outside of the management?
But look, we had a very similar game plan, and I suppose things have moved so much since them days, our playing days. There's no doubt about that. But my job was very simple, one possession, and like Tony got so much good ball. I know he never appreciated it, like, you know, because he'd run on to it. He didn't have to catch it. It was just into space.
The hip check.
And then my second job was to give it to the wee man. And that was it then. And that was my job done, like. But no, look, we at that time, like, we carried, and I was just thinking about that coming over the road, like we were allowed to carry 25 players in total. We had one physio, I think. We had no head doctors, we had no psychological people around us at all, barring the old man. So we had to sort out your own head, like, and that's the way it was. But like, I think we managed that, and I suppose when Tony came on the scene as a young lad, like, I give Tony plenty of advice as well, you know.
That was good advice. But say, Martin, I have to throw a comment to you about your All Ireland 92 final and the man that was picking you up on the day, Keith Barr. So I was like, I gave him a poke about, obviously you got well the better of him. You had your 3 points, you were outstanding. He said you were like a boil on his arse. That's the comment he made. He said he meant that he couldn't get rid of you. Now, it was some kind of compliment, but I don't know where. I've never heard a comment like this before. What do you want to say back to him?
Don't you believe everything Keith Barr tells you? All I remember that day was at the start of the game. It was very funny. I wouldn't have known Keith Barr at all. And I went up, and of course, he didn't shake my hand or anything else. So I just made a decision. We made a decision ourselves. We weren't going to put out our hands to anybody that day if they didn't shake. But next thing I knew, it was time for the national anthem, and all I could hear was him breathing in down my neck in my jersey, and I'm standing that close behind me, and anyway, it went lucky enough. I was lucky enough. I mean, things could have gone wrong too, indeed. That's the way it is. But I'm a great friend of Keith Barr's now, and after the All-Ireland final in 12, he was actually the first person to text me, congratulations to Mark. So, look it, we get up battles on the field and everything else, but just one thing I want to say is funny, we're talking about Anthony Molloy's here. And it's funny, I don't normally watch back game very much, but I watched back the 92 final there last year, and I watched back the actually 82 All-Ireland final, and I'm going to say this now, if you watch it back, Anthony Molloy was man of the match in the two games. So it's only when you really look back at it and see what he done. It's hard, and you know, that's what he was about, and he was a massive leader. And so it's another wee story. I remember the day when we won the All-Ireland, I was kind of going over chatting to him a wee minute just before he went up for the speech, and he thought he had the speech with him, and he forgot it, thought the speech, and he went up and gave the speech he did right off the cuff. So it's no wonder he's in politics now.
I think the wee man will want to pine for that after a while, I'll say. Thanks, wee man.
Was he in the running for Footballer of the Year in 92, no? No, that was yours, Great, great accolade and well deserved. Tony, different times now, we talk a while lot about socialising a small bit now, that we're asking too much of our players. Martin just mentioned amateurism. It's a big problem now around with such a sacrifice, and then you're like, to get a chance to enjoy yourself, the condensed season and all that there. But back in your time, there was quite a lot of time to let the hair down, that nice curly blonde hair of yours. What even leading up to a semi-final, there was a wee bit of a night out. You were down the country. Could you elaborate on that one?
Yeah, well, I suppose the big difference is, I think it took us six matches to win the All-Ireland. So you had you know, 3-4 weeks, but we actually had 5 weeks between the All-Ireland semi-final and the final. I think we were the first semi-final, so there was a full 5 weeks. And listen, we were training like maniacs, you know, because everyone wanted to make sure there was people not on the team, and everyone was trying to make sure they were on the team. And I remember one particular training session in Tyrconnell Park on a Saturday morning. John Joe had Declan Bone on his shoulder. John Joe wasn't on the team now. It was a fair shoulder, knocked him out cold. But because the backs and forwards in the game was so intense, it was just a case of drag him off, get someone else in. And I think Reid and Joyce went fisticuffs. Rambo went chasing after Murray up and down the field. But I suppose looking back, there was an incident. So we had 5 weeks and the county was going mad, and obviously you had the torture tickets and that, but I remember we'd come across to Milford to play a charity match maybe 2 weeks out from the final, and Brian, we were staying over in the Mount Errigal. I think we played on the Saturday, and as Brian does, like, the team wasn't drinking or anything, but he said you're allowed 2 half pints. You were never allowed, Brian would never allow you to have a pint, but you could have 2 half pints, so we had a private room in the Mount Errigal, and now Listen, I was only young, so I was only following the older boys what they were at. And, but as we left the end ahead, which we thought was to the bedrooms, we took a wrong turn and we ended up in the disco. And the disco then ended up in a house party. But listen, thankfully there was no mobile phones or no camera phones at the time. But it was just letting off a bit of steam, you know, because there was so much tension and the build up and that. That was 2 weeks out, and listen, it didn't do us a bit of harm. We were back training on the Tuesday night, going hell for leather again, and thankfully in 2 weeks' time we got over the line.
Absolutely brilliant, eh? That's. Well, just coming along to the game, you know, we're talking about Jim McGuinness here, you know, 6 years, five Ulster Championships, five semi-finals, and now we're in another final, and I see Oisin coming up. I'm going to mention babies again, because one time there was a wee baby, Jim McGuinness, and if I had known the main woman herself was coming here, I actually would have rolled out the red carpet and got her thrown for her, but Maureen McGuinness is here tonight. Give her a round of applause. Jim's sister's here, Noreen as well, and Jim's niece. And you know, you see them at all the games, hey, and they're the salt of the earth. And we just want to thank you, Maureen, so much, because, listen, and Jim always pushes this away. What's the common denominator? There's no other way, and the lads will talk about it now when they're up. He's a magic man. He has created this, and this is magic. So thank you, Maureen. What? Frank's here as well, is he? Sorry, Frank. Where are you, lad? Good man, Frank. Listen, folks, getting into the game, Anthony, is there any revenge in our mind here for 2014, or is this a completely separate occasion?
I think this is a different game completely on Sunday, and all games are, like, and I do honestly think that we're much more equipped this year than 2014. I think we've got a lot, we've got a stronger panel. And all that, and I do honestly think, like, you know, I think our biggest challenge, certainly Kerry's a big challenge, but I think our Jim's biggest challenge on Sunday is to get the lads back to that level that we know we can play at, and how Jim goes about that is another thing, and I love, you know, Jim's a man, and you know, we've had 2 weeks, like, probably we know what the Cliffords of this world are. Look at Kerry, our good side. You know, I hear around the country that they're not Kerry a good side. They're good. They're very talented bunch of players, like. And it's going to be playing at our highest level next Sunday for 70 minutes. Like, we can't allow Kerry to dictate. And I would believe Jim would have plans for that. Whether we go defensive for a while on Sunday starting out, it mightn't be that pretty. But I believe that we have a stronger panel. As you know, what you've seen from the semi-final, I think we had 15, 16 different scorers. Kerry, I think, would be limited a bit in scoring compared to us, like, and we have far more firepower. So, look, it's a different setup to 2014. And I know, and the wee man touched on it, like, what these men have done since Jim took over 2 years ago. Look at they have trained night and day, and look what we are in great shape, like. So, it's all about the psychology, the mentality, and I know Jim will have them well ready for that. It doesn't matter what Kerry throws at us on Sunday.
Yeah, we're ready for action. Give it up. Tony, it's been a strange season in some ways in terms of the condensed, the new rules. There seems to be so much happening. Hardly take a breath. You know, it's been week on week. We certainly looked at times in Ulster like we were really on it. You know, we were very efficient. We kind of lost our way in the group stages a bit. Then we didn't look like ourselves. But then the last three, particularly the last game and the half against Monaghan, the second half against Louth, we've seen the best of Donegal. Like, you're looking at, we're on about, as Anthony just mentioned there, you're looking at Paddy Clifford, Sean O'Shea, David, obviously. The supporting cast is nowhere near. Like, Donegal just seem to have so many match winners across the board. Is that why we're confident getting into the game? What do you think our plus points is?
Yeah, Brendan, I suppose if you look at the Ulster Championship, we probably we probably just played in fits and starts, you know, right from the Derry game right to the Ulster final. We'd maybe a 10-15 minute spell against Armagh in the final where we went 7 points up, and within a matter of seconds we lost a couple of kickouts, and the momentum switched. Same thing in second half, we went ahead, they came back. There was probably a bit of a hangover when Tyrone came into town in the first group game. We didn't play well, and again done what we had to do against Cavan and done what we had to do against Mayo. But I think, you know, when we got over loud, I think the 2 week break that we got before the Meath match, you know, definitely helped to refresh. And probably Meath was by far our best performance. You know, we were very close to a 70 minute match, and that's what we're going to need on Sunday. And as Andy said, you know, it could be defensive. To be honest, I would hope we'd really go at Kerry from the word go. I don't know whether Kerry have come up against that pace and intensity that we have within our team. I was looking at a stat earlier on. I think between Clifford and Sean O'Shea, they've scored 65% of their total scores. They're both the two highest two-point shooters in this year's championship. So listen, we know that they're a threat, but as Anthony said, like, we've 12, 13 players on that pitch that's coming from every angle and get scores. So listen, the matchups are going to be very interesting. Obviously, you know, personally, I think Brenton McColl, outside Donegal, is probably one of the most underrated fullbacks in the country. You know, I think he's a phenomenal footballer. Very unlucky not to get an All-Star last year, because he marked all the top forwards. Probably if he'd get to the final, he probably would have. To me, he's odds on. And the thing I like about Brenton, he's probably not like maybe your old style fullbacks like Ronan down there or Neil McGee. You know, he just plays the forward on pure football ability. And as a forward, that's the worst thing. That's the one thing that can destroy you, because of a fullback. I remember Sean Marty Lockhart back in the day, he used to be for a nip in and get their hand. And it, you don't mind the tussle and the variables and stuff like that, because you can deal with it. But Brenton seems to just play pure football and get his hand and knock the ball away. So listen, that's going to be a fantastic tussle on Sunday. And we were chatting about it outside there, and you're thinking, what's the acceptable score to let David Clifford get on Sunday? And you're probably talking 10 points. And if Clifford gets 10 points, it's not going to be enough to win the game, because I don't think they'll have that scoring power, provided we shut down Sean O'Shea and possibly Potty. You know, I think we're going to have far more threats all over the field to get us over the line.
Yeah, great stuff. Martin, just before I ask you about the game, you want me to clap there? Go ahead. You can heckle away at the guest, not me, by the way. You can heckle him if you want, if anybody feels like shouting up. I should have been over if you've got a point to make. Mark, before I get to just ask you about the game, what about the two boys? See, when they're playing there, do you do much talking about the game, you know, and the car, or do you have a wee chat about what's going on? Listen, I'd imagine you do. You can be honest with us now. We're all your friend.
No. I don't give any advice at all. I'm not.
If I was your son, I would want advice.
They just listen to one man, and that's Jim McGuinness. And I'm not going to be the person going to tell you that Jim McGuinness is wrong. But I was just going back to that story that Tony told there. He didn't tell half of it, but all I know is that we were bloody lucky there weren't mobile phones in early in '92. I don't know where we'd end up, but
I've heard the uncut version now, because again, Oshie's here, we have to behave ourselves. But there is an uncut version there. We might get it later. But Martin, listen, you're all over the country. Listen, you have an unbelievable knowledge of football in terms of like the game and where it's at. This thing now of building into the game. Kerry have had a very strange season as well. Now both teams look like they're just coming right at the right times. When I'm thinking about our bench and the amount of talent that we have, am I thinking too positive? You know, are Kerry, like the way they carry full back line, you know, Foley, Murphy, Casey were snapping at the throne full forward line. Like Meath wasn't doing that to us. Are we going to meet something very tougher? But you know, in terms of the intensity of what Kerry will bring.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. Kerry, or we were chatting about that outside, playing Kerry is different. You know, they know exactly how to play Gaelic football. They're good Gaelic footballers, them all. And, you know, they're physical when they have to be physical, and they draw the line, and they do play to their strengths. Now, if you look at it, suppose the way Kerry would be looking at it is, we've beaten, hammered Armagh, basically, hammered Tyrone, and now we're playing Donegal. And if Donegal were playing Tyrone and Armagh, it'd be a 50-50 game. So they're probably saying to themselves, look, that's where we're at. Then we have, you know, but We probably have to say this year that we would say anyway that Donegal are a better team than both Tyrone and Armagh have been. So the other thing about it from a Donegal point of view is the last day was that we played our 10th game. That's the most that's ever been played in the Championship. Now, that provided we seem to have a clean bill of health going into it, I think that'll stand for us. And that's what's, you know, as we all know, and anybody will tell you, Ren, you know yourself, it's hard to beat games for a level of fitness and, you know, it's worth 5 training sessions. So from that point of view, it's good. But look, it's an interesting one that we're saying in All-Ireland final that a man can score 8 to 10 points and you're still hoping to win the game. That's the level he's at. I mean, it's great. It's actually, I suppose, you know, it's great to go up to see him play and everything else. I know it's against our own county and how you cope with it and everything else, but Mark's wee boy Noah came up to me after the semi-final and he says, Granda, I wonder when I get a ticket for the final. I says, I don't know, no, I don't know. Granda, I want to see David Clifford play. So, you know, I mean, he probably is. Like, Matt Connor would have been the greatest footballer I've seen playing. I've always said that. But I have to say, I think we have to say, boys, this man is the best. And, I mean, he's getting better. We have to say that. There's no point just looking the other way. He is the best we've seen, Brendan, and we have seen. So, it's a big one. And it's going to be a big test for how we deal with it and then how we deal with everything else. But in saying all that there, I think that we have maybe overall got a better plan of the players than Kerry, and that's where hopefully that we can come out on top.
Yeah, and we've the King, Michael Murphy. That's the one. Listen, we're down the last couple of minutes here. You want to say something?
Just to add a wee bit about Martin and the young lad looking for Clifford's. I was in Clifford at the council meeting today, and we went across the road for a coffee, and a young girl serving there, and I got chatting to her, and she says to me, you know, I have a son in Clifford, and you know Clifford would be more soccer, and this lad is mad about soccer. And he came to me about 3 weeks ago. He's only 4 years of age. Mammy, can you put number 14 in this jersey for me? Michael Murphy.
Yeah, yeah, powerful. Powerful. Tony, is there a bit of a warning that we just touched on there with Kerry? Looking at 2014, you know, they played like a different brand of football right up the final. Remember the replays with Mayo? James O'Donoghue was shooting out the lights. And talking about footballers, Neil McGee robbed the player of the year 2014. He marked every best forward in Ireland, took him out of the game, and he gave bloody O'Donoghue the player of the year. I'm still thinking about that one, but anyway. Tony, is there a warning, and Martin said it there, about the mentality in Kerry, that from the warnings of that semi-final, that they will be, as much as we're going to focus on them and nullify threats, they're going to be all over us as well?
No, I'm sure that's probably their thinking, Bryn, but like, there's more pressure on Kerry going into the final because of you're a Kerry player, you're expected to win All Ireland. You're judged on the number of All Ireland you won, and you know, we all know about Clifford and he's you know,
he's only won one so far, which doesn't seem right for who he is, but yeah.
It doesn't, and that brings extra pressure because everyone's talking to him. You know, he is, listen, to me, the best forward.
That's Ronan McNamee's fault, by the way. Come on, Ronan.
but you know, he's the best forward in the game, and he's still only won All Ireland, and you know, you're judged on the number of Irelands down there. So there's a lot of pressure. There's pressure on Jack O'Connor down there as well, because he's probably not liked through the football family down there at times, but he's proven himself. So there is a lot of pressure on them. And listen, Martin said it earlier on, All Ireland finals are big days. But the one thing with the new rules, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, it's like on some of the games we were involved in the Ulster final, we were 7 points up, and what maybe 10 minutes to go in the first half. If that was last year, that game's over. We just close it out. You know, against Monaghan in the quarter final, you know, Sean was struggling with kickouts, and you know, you had people in the stands saying we need to get rid of Sean Patton, and in the space of a half, the whole thing flipped. Began couldn't get kickouts away, and that game's turned on its head. You know, so it's. Listen, I think there's, as I said, more pressure on Kerry on Sunday. I think we need to really go after them early on. I think you need to use that pace, that intensity. Kerry tackled hard against Tyrone, but I'm sure Ronan will admit when he's up here that Tyrone, you know, didn't really hit the heights, you know, all season. that Malaghy will probably look to get in 2 years' time. Armagh seemed very dead in the quarter final for some reason, whether that was the exertions of Ulster. But I think we're coming to the pitch and obviously Keelan's back and a few of the guys who are carrying Ox. So I think if we really go after Kerry and go after them early, you know, and put them on the back foot, then to me all the pressure's on them.
Yeah, and we're almost down to the end. We're going to go deeper into this in panel two, folks, but we have a secret weapon. As we speak, Patrick Rody's up a tree in Kerry, spying, giving all the information back. Come on, Patrick. Nice and you. Martin, just final word to you. Donegal by, what's your heart and head and everything telling you? We're going to age it, subs coming on. Patrick Kilcarman will kick the winner.
Yeah. It just would be great for our wee parish. And I know what it's like for Anthony in 92 and Michael in 2012. It would be great for Kilcar if we could, the Sam Aguirre was going down that street on Tuesday evening. And I mean, that would mean everything to the people of Kilcar. And I think that, looking at it, and I remember 92 when we won it, the amount of people said to me, particularly older people, said, I'll die happy now. And, you know, with no disrespect to Kerry, if they won next Sunday, they'll celebrate for 3 days, and that's it. They're used to it and everything else. But it would mean to us, we don't get back there very often, and we get there, we really take, as we done all year, took big crowds. People spent a lot of money, a lot of hard-earned money, didn't go on holidays and everything else to support the team. And your support and everything else that people have given has been great. But that, you know, it just means a lot to us. So, you know, please God, on Sunday. And what I'm going to say, if you want a prediction of that there, I'm not going to rule out that this game will go to extra time and have a replay even. But I think that, you know, I'm not ruling that out. And I don't think it might be a bad idea, because I think we, maybe, at this stage, have a better squad than them. So that might make a big difference. So that's how tight I think it's going to be. And hopefully, it'll be always very nice. And we're actually good, not bad at winning games in extra time.
Three absolute legends, folks. Give it up. Give it up. Goshen.
Big round of applause for our panel. Hang on a second there, guys. If you just sit where you are, we'll be back with you in a second. With a special visitor for you all. Just arrived. I wish I was carrying Sam on here tonight. I only wish. The next best thing at the moment. The Anglo-Celt Cup's with us tonight. Where is it? David James, who's going to sing us a song. Right, just we're coming towards the end of the first half. I have a couple of my Highland regulars in front of me. Brendan Kilcoyne and Maureen O'Donnell. Unions v. Terman. Brendan, stand up there and say hello. Give Brendan a round of applause. There's no point in us facing Brendan. We'll turn around this way, face the crowd. Big week, Brendan.
Oh yeah, massive week, and everyone's looking forward to it. You can feel the mood here in the room tonight, so you can. And you know what, it's a great diversion. There's so much going on in the world, and you're reading so much bad stuff and all that. To have something like this to look forward to on Sunday, and not only this week, like all summer, the 10 games, we've travelled all over the country, up to Clonus, up to Breffni Park, down to the Hyde, Grow Park. It's been fantastic days, and you can see the joy and the excitement in the crowd, particularly at the semi-final. You saw all the kids there, all the young kids were able to go, and it was probably their last opportunity that people could load the whole family into the car with the tea and the sandwiches and the whole lot and have a big day out. So it's been a huge lift for Donegal, and hopefully, you know, lads will go and finish the job on Sunday. It's a huge assignment. We know that going in against Kerry, any day you come against the Kingdom is a big ask, but there's so much talent and quality within the group, and the fitness levels are extraordinary, so you're just hoping that they can get the job out done on Sunday, Oisín.
The boys give their prediction. What's yours?
I think Donegal will have enough. I think I expect Donegal to win by 4 or 5 points, Oisín.
There you go. Come on, Brendan. Maureen, come on out beside me. This is Highland Radio's Road to Croker in association with the guys at Highland Motors in the Mountaintop and Letterkenny, who have jumped on board with us to bring you all these live broadcasts that we're doing throughout the week, including a big double coming up in Dublin at the weekend. I'm sure you've seen the lovely green and gold Renault 5s which are sitting outside. So if anybody's car breaks down tonight, including the person that has the registration 08DL4432, because your lights are on, you can take one of the Renault Clio 5s with you, all right? If it doesn't start. So if you are the registered owner of that car, 08DL4432, your lights are on, by the way. Is it your car, Maureen?
It's not mine. Thank God.
Maureen, big week ahead. Listen, you've been up with us in the press area and the commentary position, and you followed all this madness and craziness, and we've one more game to go. What's your prediction? What are you thinking ahead of the weekend?
Oh, I have to say, look, as the voice says, Donegal have a stronger panel for sure, and you never underestimate Kerry when you go to Croke Park, because they are famous for their All-Irelands. But, you know, this Donegal side, I feel, has just gone from strength to strength throughout the year. And as I say, if we get off to a very good first half start, that's where my nerves are in the first 30 minutes, because, you know, I feel Donegal then run on momentum, and when they get off in the second half, they're actually phenomenal, and they're very, very, very hard to stop, Oisín. So up Donegal all the way.
Okay. Well, give her a round of applause. We're going to win it by what?
Listen, if we get over the line by a point, I don't care, but so long as we won it on the day.
Good on you. Morning, O'Donnell, folks. One other gentleman I want to speak to, Mr. Kieran Brogan, the mayor of Letterkenny and Milford. Come on up to me, Kieran. Kieran, of course, supports the DL debate each and every Monday night with Sister Sarah's, and a huge Donegal fan and a huge backer of Donegal too. You can follow me right around here. You can, the camera. Yeah, there we are. We're on the screens, Kieran. You better smile.
I know we are, Oisín, but I wasn't prepared for this now.
Listen, I'm
a Donegal supporter.
You're a Donegal supporter that covers all the miles, just like the rest of us. You're at all the games, and here we are now with one more hurdle to go for the big one. Can we get over this hurdle?
I think we can. I think, you know, first of all, you talked about the 92 and you talked about Jim McGuinness's family. For me personally, I think this is a really exciting time. I think these players that we have, their families, deserve an awful lot of credit. The Donegal players sacrifice so much. They give so much of their own time. Their family sacrifice so much. I'm delighted that Jim McGuinness's family's here. I think when the history books are written, there'll be statues everywhere for Jim McGuinness, because, you know, he's done so much for Donegal. If you think back, Anthony Molloy said about 92, the connection there, 2012, and now 2025. And I mean, Anthony and Martin and Tony was talking about it. Whatever's about 92, every Christmas Day I sit down and I watch 92 again. And everybody in the house says, she watched that again. But that was a special time. And now we're still going in 2025. These people have given so much. The positivity, the lift, what they do for us, I think, it gives the county a huge, huge lift. And I think, you know, Brendan and all the people, think about the people who never got there to the final, who sacrificed so much. So to me, all the people involved in this, they deserve huge credit. It's a great evening. Thank yourselves. It's exciting. I mean, if you think about the Murphy comeback that evening in Ballybuffet, everybody was looking, there he is, there he comes. And then, what does Armagh do? Was Noel Sain never broke the bear? And what did they do? I mean, look, I think, for me personally, you know, it's a really, really exciting time. We're living in the best times of our lives. Enjoy it. Cherish the moments. Thankfully, I was there in 92, very, very young. But, you know, making that happen. And I think back to 92, and this is true, the Dublin people had the matchboxes and all the cards and everything done. Dublin All-Ireland champions, 1992. They never thought that the Swede Donegal team would come along and beat them, you know. So we're special people in Donegal. Enjoy the moment. Thanks to Highland Radio. Thanks to everybody. I'll not get into the logistics about the football, because there's people far more intelligent than me. But I think sport's a great leveller. It's great for us all. It's who we are in Donegal. Just enjoy everything between now and Sunday. And Sunday evening, hopefully, we'll be All-Ireland champions. We're never too, Donegal people, we're not going to be too cocky or upbeat. But you know what? We'll put our trust in Jim McGuinness and the great players and the great team that he has.
Well said, Kieran Brogan, Mayor of Letterkenny and Milford Municipal District.
Right, I'll have to get him on the deal debate. Never mind sponsor, I'll have to get him on.
I'll have to get him on.
I tell you.
We'll take him to the homecoming on Monday night,
won't we? Sure, for sure.
By the way, Brendan's DL debate next Monday night, fingers crossed, with Sam coming into Donegal Town. Me and him's going up the road to Donegal Town on Monday evening. We will be live from the Key West restaurant at the pier. Win or lose, we'll be behind the team all the way.
00 champagne we'll be drinking.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. I'm going to have to put him on a leash. I'm going to have to put him on a leash. He's doing a great job, isn't he?
You.
He's doing a great job tonight. How are we fixed with tickets? Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Right, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Highland Radio, in association with Air Grid, and we've teamed up with the Harcourt Hotel in Dublin, have two tickets and an overnight stay the night before the final up for grabs. And all you have to do is go on to highlandradio.com and get your ticket there, 5 for 1 or 10 for 3, and it could be any one of you be the lucky ones that won two tickets for the final, courtesy of Highland Radio. What else do I have to tell you? Oh yes, a reminder of our donations. We're going to lift them now at the interval. So again, it's for the Northwest Special Olympics. I give the Northwest Special Olympics team a round of applause. They're here tonight. They've been helping us today. They're over there in the corner. Wonderful people doing sterling work. And we'll lift the envelopes at the interval. And then coming up, we've got special goodie bags to give away in the second half. David James is getting warmed up. He's going to sing us a song. But just before we get that song by David, I just want to mention one thing. Brendan is here tonight and he's doing a wonderful job, and we are here tonight celebrating Donegal football. But the Devenny House and the Burke House is touched with sadness over the last number of days. Brendan lost his cousin, Gavin Burke, on Saturday, who passed away and will be buried tomorrow. So we're thinking of the Devenny and the Burke family tonight. They are very much in our thoughts. They're going through an extremely difficult time, and we send our condolences to the Burke family in Newton Cunningham and all of Brendan and Brendan's family too. So, to bring an end to part one of Highland Radio's Road to Croker, in association with Highland Motors, live here from the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny, do you want another song? We've got a cracker for you. David James, take it away.
All right, let's light up the Clannery for the last song of the first half. If you've got a phone, put it up for Jim McGinnis and his man, everybody.
Oh, the lights of London, they are far behind. The thoughts of homeland, they echo right in my mind. Familiar places come into view. I see my home now, soon I'll see you. We'll talk to the old folks, see how they're getting on. Treat them the late nights and sing a few songs. We'll talk of the neighbors and life in the town. There's so much to tell them, how the days fly around. Are you ready? This is my homeland, place I was born in. No matter where I roam, it's in my soul. My feet may wander a thousand places, but my heart will lead me back home to my Donegal.
There's a lot more lights than that in the Clannery. Let's get them all in the air to finish off the first half.
And then tomorrow, we're gonna take a little walk down to St. Mary's, to that sheltered spot. We'll kneel and we'll pray there for the ones who were gone. Let's hope that they're proud of their wandering son.
Are you with me tonight?
This is my homeland, the place I was born in. No matter where I roam, it's in my soul. My feet may wander a thousand places, but my heart will lead me back home. You're on your own, let's lift the roof, everybody, here we go. This is the place. No matter, no, it's in my soul. It's sounding good to me. My feet may wander a thousand places, but my heart will lead me back home to my Donegal. Yes, my heart will lead me back home to my Donegal.
Home to Donegal. Okay, that brings an end to part one of our show tonight. We're going to have a break for 15 minutes. Rejoin us for more football talk. We'll be joined by 2012 legends and All-Ireland winners Frank McGlynn and Ryan Bradley, and Tyrone man Ronan McNamee will be on stage as well. We'll talk to you again soon. It's opened up for Shane O'Donnell. Here's a chance for Conor O'Donnell. The ball is stripped. There's Abel back in the net. Donegal on the goal and Shane McFadden.
Big Huey, big fan.
Highland Radio's Road to Croker, in association with Highland Motors Letterkenny and the all-new Renault Symbioz. Affordable, luxury driving with high tech. From only €249 per month.